Your next promotion is just the beginning, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 194. Today's episode is perfect as we start to get into the fall season. So many of you are going back to the office, and so many of you continue to work from Zoom remotely while the leadership team might be going back to the office. Both of these options are perfectly viable when it comes to continuing to advance your career. There are ways that we can do this remotely, and there are so many ways that we can do it by connecting with other leaders and people in our community in person. Kate Luzio is one of those women that is creating an in-person community inside of New York City. She is the founder of Luminary, and before the pandemic, this was a massive in-person community, like a physical building in New York City, where leaders were able to come together and network and build community and advance their careers together. And then during the pandemic, it became a massive global community with over 10,000 members. So whether you're craving an in-person, awesome, getting to see people face-to-face, you can do that with Kate in New York City, or if you want to join her global community, she is telling us all about it in today's episode, as well as giving you ways that you can begin to cultivate relationships, not in a transactional way, but in a uplifting way, in an empowering way that allows you to be your best self. Let's get started. Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out, because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I'm your host, Stacey Mayer, and super excited to be here with you this week as I have a very special guest that I have known about for quite some time. And then her publicist reached out to me to be on my podcast, and I was just like, yes. I always wonder if I scare publicists when I like write back right away, because I either do that or like ghost them, right? So I have to be full transparency. This is how I roll. But I was just really excited to get Kate on this podcast. And I think we're all going to get so much out of today's episode. Not to hype her up too much, but I think she'll live up to the hype. And another thing that I'm also really excited about is because Kate is in New York City. And as a lot of my listeners know, my background was also in finance, working in New York City, Midtown Manhattan. And that's Kate's background as well. And so I think we'll have a lot to talk about on today's episode. Let me give her a more formal introduction, and then we will just dive right in and see what happens. Kate Luzio is the founder and CEO of Luminary, a global membership-based professional education and networking platform created to uplift, upskill, and propel women forward through all phases of their professional journey, whether in the workforce, entrepreneurship, or in transition. Thank you so much, Kate, for being here.
No, I'm excited. And I love that you said our backgrounds kind of coincide with finance. So I think it's going to be a very fun conversation.
Yeah, I bet. Like, I think, well, I guess we'll just kind of dive right in. When I read about your mission to help women and to propel their careers and all of the work that you've done with Luminary, I can't help but think that this high achieving New York City background probably led to some of this. And that's how I feel too. I came out to California from New York City. I moved to Palo Alto. I was like, oh my gosh, this place is so slow. And then I would meet these just incredibly amazing professional women. And I was like, I just want to get you promoted. I just want to get you more money. And that was like literally how I started my business. It was that, but I think it's that New York vibe, right? You're totally just like, come on, let's do it. So tell me a little bit more about that for you. What does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I think that you know, I grew up in New Jersey, so, and my father worked in New York City for the majority of his career. So I think I always had that sort of like hustle, like go after it, you know, do the best you can and sort of excel at everything that you possibly can. So when I got recruited into banking, which wasn't where I thought I would go with my career, I literally got recruited into it. It wasn't something that was on my agenda. It was like, okay, I'll try this out. They seem to think I'm going to do a good job. So we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, almost 20 years later, I was still doing it. I tell everyone this, that I loved what I was doing. I didn't leave banking because I, you know, hated it or I didn't feel like I was getting opportunities. It was actually quite the opposite. But to your point around looking at the people around you, in particular women, and I would say even more broadly, you know, people of color, underrepresented communities, they weren't getting the opportunities. And I wasn't seeing as many senior, you know, again, faces around the table that looked like me. And I just couldn't understand why the numbers weren't moving. And so thinking back to sort of my career, how I leveraged mentors, how I leveraged my network, sort of all the different jobs at different places that I worked and certainly different countries, it's like, there's got to be a better way to do this for women in particular, but we are gender inclusive at Luminary because we can't do any of this without men. And so thinking about how do I help women, but doesn't matter if they're in banking or if they're in accounting or they're starting their own company or they're figuring out their next step. They all need community. They need mentorship. They need coaching and they need content that can help upskill them. And so that was really why we started it. But I couldn't have done this, Stacey, if I didn't have this, I think, pretty incredible career over, you know, the course of 20 something years.
Yeah. And so speaking of couldn't have done this, so there's another thing that stood out to me when I was looking at your LinkedIn is that you have really built Luminary tell me the numbers, like how many community members? I mean, it's a lot.
So we have over 10,000. Yeah, members. We have over 60 companies within our enterprise platform, which is our B2B. And growing, right? Because we're very intentional and purposeful around, you know, we're not trying to be everything to everyone. We do not sort of say we're for one type of, you know, the senior leader or the junior. We're really trying to bring people together.
Yeah. So the thing that stood out to me was the amount of time that you have built this up. And I tell me if I'm wrong, but it was like around the 5-year mark. And I was like, whoa, that's insane and amazing, right? That says a lot about your drive, your ambition, your clarity. Perhaps, you know, it's on the coattails of the 20 years in professional experience. But what was it? What has happened in the last 5 years? How were you able to make such a huge impact in a relatively short amount of time?
Yeah, we're right almost at, we'll be at the end of this year, we'll be at 5 years, which, you know, is crazy to me because some days it feels like we just started and some days it feels like it's been two decades, right? And particularly as we built, the majority of the business was in a pandemic. I mean, we were only 14 months old around when the pandemic hit and going from, we started at the physical location, programming events in space, everyone came and gathered here in New York to overnight we went online. And now that model has obviously drastically evolved because of the pandemic. So much of the learnings that I had throughout my career in building businesses, in particular for the three banks that I worked for, really lent itself to how do I want to build this? It's also one of the reasons why I didn't raise any money. I wanted to build something that one, I could really take in our customer feedback and action it pretty quickly. I didn't have to go to someone to say, should we do this? I really wanted to say, okay, somebody wants us to do this, or this is what we're hearing. Two, control my own destiny around financials. You know, again, if we had raised money, I think we wouldn't still be here because we would have not been able to act quickly during that beginning part of the pandemic. We were able to roll out new revenue models, new programs that really have changed, you know, the face of kind of how we have accelerated our growth. I couldn't have done that if I didn't control the destiny. And I think the other thing is it's also allowed me to test and see what's working, what's not working. And not everything's going to work for the community. And so for me, it was these 5 years have been a lot of trial and error, building an incredible team. I have to say, you know, none of this, founders get all the glory, but none of this happens without your team and building the right team and also knowing where my skills lie and what I have to hire for. And so that's really, I think, how we've been able to do what we've done in the last couple of years. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we'll continue being able to do that.
What were some gifts from the pandemic that you were able to create or now are still going to keep doing? And that's like a foundation for your business model now.
Oh, well, I remember when we, when the mayor of New York said we were going to have to lock down, I was late. The kind of the announcement came out like at night and they had like a press conference and I called one of our interns. I'm like, hey, do you know anything about Zoom? Can we get a Zoom account? Like, how much does it cost? And yeah, she's like, there's a free trial for 30 days. I'm like, do it because this is only going to be a few weeks. Here we are, you know, almost 4 years, 3.5 years later, the digital is, you know, a huge driving factor because one, we went online and we had to be there for our community in New York that was still here.
Yeah. Many you have left. I think we said this, but I want to make sure everybody knows that she has a physical space in New York City and they still operate it. And she's actually recording this from that space right now. So that's a huge difference than like when I started my business, I started online. So I really just expanded it from there.
Exactly. But, exactly. Yeah. And so we wanted to continue to have the space and that's a huge, right. As you can think about the cost of running that space, it's 15,000 square feet in the middle of Manhattan. But we know that our community wanted that and wanted us to return when we could safely. And we did right when New York reopened in July. But at that same time, when we got that Zoom account, we realized that people weren't coming just for the space. They were coming for that community connection. They were coming for the programming and the content. So we really invested so heavily in building out that digital model. And it's funny because my original business plan, when I wrote it to launch Luminary, doesn't have digital, virtual, it doesn't even, the words don't even appear, right? Because it was always about that physical. Now, 3.5 years later, that is a huge, more than 60% of our members of Luminary aren't in the New York area. They're part of our digital offering, which came out of those first couple of months of the pandemic. Our fellowship program, which is has been supporting over 2,000 business owners across the US, came out of those first 6 months of the pandemic. Those are three new products that we didn't have prior to entering that pandemic. So those are some of the gifts. I think the other piece is because we've always had a B2B model. So our enterprise solution is really thinking about how do we invest in talent within companies, giving them access to the community and the programming. Pre-pandemic, it could only be companies that had employees in New York. Mm-hmm. As soon as the pandemic hit, it was like, hey, JP Morgan, hey, UBS, hey, Heidrick & Struggles and other Goldman Sachs, you have people all over. Now they can actually benefit from all of the programming and the community and the platform versus when we were just in person, it was only in New York. So that really amplified our reach and then accelerated our growth from an enterprise perspective. And we now record all of our sessions. Again, before the pandemic, we weren't doing that. Now we have this incredible 2,000 plus hours of content that our members have access to.
Amazing. So you've already touched on this a little bit, but usually it's the question that I ask out of the gate, which is some of your secrets to success. And we can infer from what you've already shared, but I'm curious from your words, what you would say that is.
So I think a couple of things. One is my network, really investing in, and I'm sure you have done this for all of your career, investing in your network and your relationships, staying in touch with former colleagues and people that were pivotal in your career. All of my mentors, I still stay in touch with as well from my banking days. Relationship, because that's what allowed us to really get the word out that Luminary was launching and continues to be a huge opportunity for us. I think two is integrity. I don't think that when we talk about leadership, it's talked about in off is like having that integrity and everything that I do and that I've built into the team is thinking about standing up for our customers and our community, making sure we're doing the right thing every single day, doing our best for the community every day. And we're going to make mistakes, but as long as everyone knows that we're doing everything with best intentions, I think that's a really important part of building a business and this leading with integrity. And I think for the third and probably the most important is understanding and having complete control over your numbers. So many business owners, especially that we work with and that I talk to, don't understand their numbers. And so it's very hard to gauge success financially, how you can reinvest in your business, when you can hire, how you can scale, whatever that looks like, if you're not in complete control and command of your numbers. It also allows you in times of crisis to pull different levers to make sure that you're still in business after that crisis.
You know, that reminds me, I was thinking about my clients and what version of that is for the woman who is trying to advance her career. And it kind of comes back in my mind to this place of knowing your goals, which just sounds so simple, but I'm like, you know, we get so caught up in working for other people.
Absolutely.
And yeah. So, I was thinking about some of the things that you're noticing in your clients, the women in particular, mm-hmm. the women who are still in corporate, what are some of the challenges that they face?
Okay. Top three every time, no matter what company we work with, is confidence, right? And being able to say, you know, own who you are, your skills, they're transferable, going after the jobs, whether you feel like you're qualified or not. I think the confidence piece is still an issue. It was an issue when I started in my career in the late 90s, right? That's something that I think we have to continue to work on. Two is really understanding mentorship and sponsorship and who within your organization, externally and internally, that you can work with, lean on, talk to. What does that even mean to find, you know, to have mentors and sponsors, and why are they important in your career? And it's not just, you know, finding someone on LinkedIn and saying, hey, Stacy, can you be my mentor? That is not the right way to find a mentor. And I think third is really learning that you are in control of your career. Nobody cares about your career more than you do. So you have to put yourself in the driver's seat from everything from what do you want to do? What's important to you? How much money do you make? What do you want out of these jobs? What does your path look like? And by the way, your path may change multiple times over, especially depending on where you are in your life stage, and that's okay. But understanding what's important at that moment in time in your role, in your life, and being able to confidently talk about that to the company you work for, to your manager, to your, you know, the leadership, I think is really important. I think we've seen a shift in that because of the pandemic and what people are focused on, flexibility, remote work, et cetera. But I think we have to be very upfront about what works for us as employees and where's the win-win for the employee and the employer.
Listeners to my podcast know that I can go a little meta in these conversations. And I want to take like a little side journey here for a minute and talk about Kate and what she just did. So I teach my clients to listen to what leaders do who we want to emulate and actually what they're doing. And so if you think that Kate sounds confident in this interview, there's something really funny that she just did, which she was like, and one and two and three. And this is something I learned, you know, 10 plus years ago doing improv classes. And it was like, if you just put things in numbers, even if you don't know what number two and number three is going to be yet, and I'm not saying that she didn't do that, I mean, that she didn't know, but it sounds so much more confident. And there is this like beautiful, you know, I'm not saying fake it till you make it, but there's beautiful things that we can start to do as we lean into our confidence to actually start to realize, oh, I actually do have something to say. And so My gift is, if you thought Kate sounded confident in her last little cycle that she was sharing with us, then, you know, just start adding numbers one, two, three into your presentations, anything, impromptu conversations. It sounds more confident and you'll start to feel more confident along the way. But that also leads me into how you learned this, right? I mean, sure, you came out of the womb confident, right? Let's talk about that for a minute.
I don't know about that. No, And I have my struggles, right, too, with, you know, I think for me, and it's funny, my partner, he and I have been together for many years, but he's like, always says, you know, one of the things that I know about you is you just know your shit, right? And when you know your shit, right, whatever that expertise is, lean into that, right? And where you don't, it's okay to ask questions. And I think from the very beginning of that, I can remember from school into sports and then into my professional career, is I was never afraid to sort of raise my hand and ask questions when I didn't know something. And that's also a sign of strength. You're wanting to learn, you're wanting to understand more. But for me, I had two brothers. I have two brothers, one on each side. And And I kind of tell everyone this, we really weren't raised like girls or boys. We were raised as competitors to compete in everything that we did, and not against each other, but that be the best that you can be, learn everything, listen, take every opportunity. And I think for me, that made me much more confident in my abilities to be able to say, yes, I know this. Yes, I don't know this. You know, I had great mentors as well throughout especially my banking career, that I would ask for feedback. Like, mm-hmm. You heard me in that presentation. What didn't I do well?
Yeah.
And being open to feedback, that I always say it's not personal. It may feel personal, but you're not going to accept 100% of the feedback, but understand. And by the way, think about it. Is it a pattern? Have you heard this mm-hmm. from others? And the strengths that you have, if you continue to hear those, really play to those. And I think it's something that we, as particularly women, when they get into that situation and they're listening to feedback, what they walk out of the room with is only the negative.
Yes. And I was just thinking when you were saying that, because you were like, lean into the things that you're good at and really use them. And so even in this example that we were talking about, you know, there is no fake it until you make it. What we're doing is actually illuminating some of the strengths. And to Kate's point, what you always have to couple that with is the questions. Be clear on what you don't know. Because I think where we run into problems is we actually start making stuff up, right?
Exactly.
So we're like talking. We're like, oh, I did those three things, right? And then we're just kind of keep talking. It's like, no, I want you to have a framework so that you can position the knowledge that you do have, right? That you can actually share that information. And then be very clear on what you don't know, so that then you can transition that into questions. And now you're unstoppable, right? Like,
right,
that
exactly.
is so good. I love that. So you spoke about mentors a couple times, but you dropped a little bomb in the middle. And I was like, oh, what is that? You were like, that is not the way to get mentors. And then you kept going. So let's tell me, what is not the way to get mentors and what is the way to get mentors?
And again, this is all my personal right, experience, but I see this a lot where people reach out without any context, right? So if I reached out to you on LinkedIn to connect, great. But then I throw in, I've never met you. I mean, I'm talking in my head. I've never met you, Stacey. I know you're amazing at what you do. You have this great background. So automatically I'm just grasping that I want to talk to you. The next thing I see people do is saying, well, I would love for you to be my mentor. I heard you speak at a conference. I get this quite a bit. It's like, that's not, first of all, you don't even know that person. In order to develop real mentorship, you have to develop a relationship. A lot of that comes informally, where especially inside an organization, you start to develop a relationship, one with, you know, peers as well as more senior people. And by the way, also junior people, because you could have mentorship across the board. And likely those relationships will develop into more of that mentor-mentee. I know for most of mine, probably 95%, they were all very informal. In fact, some of the men, because it's majority men that I've said they're my mentor, they're like, really? I didn't know I was your mentor. But it's what you take from that relationship. I think because the word is thrown out so much and everyone has to have a mentor, it sort of overtakes what the actual objective is in having a mentor. And so you and I could have one conversation where I learn so much and I take away from that and I can apply that to my career. In my mind, that's a mentoring conversation. It doesn't mean I need to meet with you every single month and talk to you for 30 minutes. You could have also relationships where you are catching up with that person regularly, bouncing ideas off them. And this is where peer mentorship comes in. We really underestimate that in the corporate world. It is so impactful. And actually, I think even sometimes more impactful than finding a senior mentor. The last thing is, if you are just at a loss and you just feel like you have no mentorship, you're not getting that, is talk to you. If you have a good relationship, and you should, with your manager, and say, listen, I'm getting great guidance from you, manager, but you're my direct boss. Are there people in your network within the organization that you could talk to about mentoring me, especially given the fact that you think I'm great talent and you want me to be here a long time? It gives that opportunity and some onus to the manager to help find people that could mentor you. Because, by the way, no one wants to lose talent. It is so much more expensive to replace talent than it is to retain. So it is in their best interest to help find people that can guide you in addition to themselves.
Now, I know community is a huge part of this. And as you were talking about mentorship and mentoring conversations, I have a secret confession, which is not so secret, which is that, you know, I bring women on here that I just want to meet and talk to, right? Like that's like, but I have this podcast platform. And I also have executives that I work with that also have their own platforms in various different ways, from a podcast or appearing on panels or hosting panels. Mm-hmm. And really a large part of that is to be able to create and bring in people that they admire. That's it, right? And then they create, they learn. And it's sort of like, well, which came first, the supported chief sales officer position? So it's not just about the title, mm-hmm. but that you feel supported and you feel like you are ready and want to have this job? Or is it like you did the work to surround yourself with people, get that mentorship, stay in inspiration, and you got the chief sales officer job, right? It's all
absolutely.
The same.
It is absolutely. And I think of even just in my journey as the, you know, as I founded Luminary, the majority of speakers that we have, whether it's on our panels or fireside chats, even our, the, you know, workshop leaders, is I want to learn from them, right? Everybody has something to give and I can learn from everyone. In my corporate life, it was the same. When I ran our women's networks or I hosted client events, I wanted to bring people on that not only they could learn from and listen to, but for me too. One really, I think, unique example is I was living in London. I ran our women's network across Europe, Middle East, and Africa. At the time, our CFO was a woman at JP Morgan. She's now running co-head of consumer. And she was coming over for a visit. And I said, I'd love to have her speak at our event. And I didn't know her personally. I got to know her after that. But I purposely didn't have me do the moderating. Mm-hmm. I had a junior person. Number one, it was great for the CFO to kind of speak to these hundreds of women. But number two, it gave visibility to that junior woman to, wow, this younger woman is the one that's interviewing or not already a senior level person. And in that sort of dialogue, what came out for the people in the audience was that, wow, you can actually give visibility and exposure to all, not just senior people. Yeah. But what happened for me after that was that same woman, that CFO, we developed a relationship. I got to see her when I would come to New York. When I ended up leaving JP Morgan and went to HSBC, we still stayed in touch. And I think that to me is, you can't always have that one direction when you're putting things together. You have to think about, I always say, the long term. I play the long game in my career. If you're thinking about transactionally and relationships and mentorships, I don't think it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so now the more global community that you're creating, there has to be a huge aspect of your mission. So how do you see community in your work in Luminary? And what are some of the ways that the members are supporting each other, maybe in ways that were even beyond your control, right? Like bigger than you? That's one of my favorite things about running a business is how things are. I'm so used to having my finger in everything. And then now I don't have to. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people are connecting and my mission is happening outside of me, even bigger than me.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. It's like, whoa. And then people come up to you and say, this happened because, and you're like, oh, really? I had no, yeah. No, I think that's the true sign of a community when it's not just about that person that started it because people are connect. Yes, the original is because of that. What I see within the community, so set more than 70% of our programming, and we host about 30 programs, workshops, events every month, are led by our community members, right? So it's people within the community that have different levels of expertise that want to give back, that are coaches that have, you know, again, subject matter expertise in different areas. That to me, I don't have to find them. They're coming to us because they're already part of that community. They want to be more involved. They want to get engaged. They want to give back. Two is we have now lots of different groups, our female founder support group, our mom moments group, our Monday meetups. Those all came out of the community, right? It wasn't Luminary and my programming team saying, we're going to go ahead and do this. This was members coming and saying, we want to host this. We've got a menopausal group. We've got women in fashion and like sort of fashion ecosystem. So those all come out of the community and people connecting. And then what we've seen in all of our cities where we're not physically located is members, once they've connected virtually, is, oh, you're in my city. let's connect mm-hmm. offline, let's meet up. And then they come back to us and say, well, we met up and we hosted an event together, or we collaborated on a business idea. That to me is a community working. And it's really amazing to see because it's very organic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And so for you personally, I'm curious, and this might even be beyond Luminary, what is your next ambition? What's your, I call it 3X vision, but like your bigger vision, your future vision for yourself, your career as you're growing? Obviously, it might also be tied to Luminary, yeah. But I'm curious.
You know, I feel like we're so young still, even we're not even five. So I think we have a lot more room to build and grow and scale in both of our sort of B2C and B2B models. But I'm open to everything. You know, I'm open to, we've never raised. So, you know, I was self-funded the business. So I'm open to strategic conversations. We're absolutely looking at acquisitions, meaning I would like to acquire. And so we've done that in 2020. We did a small one in 2021, but that's something that's on as we continue to build and hopefully scale. But I'm always open to kind of any conversation that's going to benefit the community and the business mm-hmm. and my team. For me personally, I want to continue to, I feel like I'm still very young. So I've got a lot of runway and I'm going to hopefully live a very long time. So I don't know if Luminary is what I'm going to do forever. I doubt it. And I have to be okay with that. But I think there's a lot of, you know, just things out there that I want to do. I want to get on a public board. So that's something that I'd like to do in the next 2 to 3 years.
And in terms of your motivation to have a voice at the table, why do you feel motivated to be this leader of this, I mean, essentially a movement, right?
Yeah. You know, like you, and I'm sure we could go offline and talk about lots of stories around what happened in our careers prior to us doing what we're doing now. The workforce, the workplace is just not built for everyone. It's built for one kind of person. Mm-hmm. And that's got to change. And I think companies are realizing that. So for me, it's about teaching, talking to, working with, supporting women, but yes, also underrepresented communities, that they have to have a voice. They have to use their voice. And these are the ways they can do it, right? Even going back to your sort of pickup on the 1, 2, and 3, building more confidence, you know, being okay with saying I'm not getting paid enough and I want more money. So for me, that's giving people the tools, whether that's to manage and navigate and advance their careers in the traditional workforce, all the way to I'm now an owner, right? I'm a business. I wasn't an entrepreneur 5 years ago. Now mm-hmm. I am. I have both sides of the table. I want to help business owners and entrepreneurs or those aspiring entrepreneurs make sure that they're building businesses to last and that they can survive and thrive. And then those, you know, for me, it's a lot of that also comes back to we are in a weird time after this pandemic and now entering, if we're in a recession, if we're not, workforce reductions. I think women in particular have figured out, I don't know if I want to do these things for the next 30 years, and I can do multiple things and I can try different things, and helping give confidence to our community that they can prepare and do different things if they want to, you know, mm-hmm. define our own version of success. My version of success, Stacey, does not look like yours, and mm-hmm. that's okay.
Yeah.
But being able collectively to embrace that and say, okay, but how do we support each other in our journeys?
Yeah, so good. So anything else that you want to add to this conversation? I feel like it's been incredibly rich. And thinking about the woman who wants to advance her career, she feels stuck. Any final words of advice and or anything else that we haven't touched on today that you want to share?
Yeah, the last thing that I would say is you know, we talk a lot about at Luminary, the power middle. I think there's mm-hmm. a lot of focus and there should be about, you know, senior and leadership and getting women into the C-suite and there should absolutely, we need that. But there's also an enormous population of what we call the power middle, where women can still be very influential, can, you know, make a lot of money, can do what they want without having to be just thinking about the senior leadership roles and the C-suite. The people in the C-suite can't do their jobs, without the power middle. And we've got to reframe that conversation that it's okay to, by the way, be okay where you're at in your career, as long as you're getting new opportunities, you're making the money, you're comfortable in what you're doing. It doesn't always have to be climbing this ladder, which I think we've been forced, it's been forced on us for a long time, that that's the only way you're successful. Absolutely not. You've got to create your own version of success.
Yeah. My original program was called Executive Ahead of Time. And it was basically like focusing on what are the tools that we can start to do in the role that we're in to start to either set us up for the future promotions or really just to have more influence exactly where we are right now.
100%.
I'm curious, I'd love to hear an idea, like any example, a story, something. I mean, it might be so specific that, you know, but I always think in specifics, it's relevant to everyone. So anything you can give us in terms of a tip
for anything
for the power middle? I was thinking about the power
absolutely,
middle.
Like, absolutely.
That sounds great. Let's do more of that.
So one thing is really thinking about where you're at in your career today, right? And to drown out the noise around you and really having that career conversation with your manager about where you're at today, that you are happy in the role that you're in, but you don't want to stop learning and getting that investment in professional development. I think oftentimes managers go, well, if they're not top talent, rising stars, why does that have to be the same thing? I can still be top talent and be doing my job. It doesn't mean I always have to be looking at the next thing. Invest, ask for that professional development. So to your point, Stacey, you can still work on those things. Maybe you're very happy with where you're at now. Maybe you can utilize those in different opportunities. And along the way, maybe you do want to continue to climb the ladder, but to have those career conversations with your manager and don't wait till your end of year. Do those regularly.
Yes. Chapter one of my book. Oh my God. As you were talking, I just thought of this brilliant idea. Again, get yourself in rooms with people who inspire you, because Kate has just inspired me in terms of the language around this, because you said, have a conversation with your boss and actually tell your boss that you're happy in the role that you're in. That is so brilliant, because sometimes a lot of my women are dealing with a boss that is very insecure and doesn't know where to put them. And it's not even that they're not rising talent, but maybe their boss has the next title.
Yes.
And so like they have nowhere to put them. And then, so then my client feels like they can't do anything. And you've just given them this beautiful tool to have a conversation and just really own the role that they're currently in.
Yes.
And how to do more in that, and not more as in more projects, but like have more influence. And
exactly.
Oh, so good.
It also takes away that insecurity from the manager.
Yes.
Intimidation. Like, oh God, now they're going
to
want my
job. I know
job.
We have to know what their minds are. And when they're telling us to stay put, some of it is because of what's going on for them. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Brilliant, Kate. Thank you so much. Kate Luzio, everyone. Her company is called Luminary. If you are in New York City, please just go see her in person. I think she's actually in the office quite a bit. And then she's also got this wonderful membership and array of trainings and just so much to add. Tell us where we can find that and connect with you.
Sure. So you can connect with Luminary at We Are Luminary. That's our sort of handle for everything. WeAreLuminary.com is our website. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. That's my primary platform, Kate Luzio, Kate spelled with a C. Connect with me. I love continuing to build my network and hearing what's working or what's not working, whether you're in the community or not. And we are also, last thing is, we're on the road. So we started this last year. Well, we've continued it in 2023. So while we have a physical location in New York and this great digital community, we have been on the road now in almost 12 cities. So check out our Luminary Live, because we may be coming to a city near you and popping up with great programming and speakers and phenomenal experts. So that's how to find us.
Awesome. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you so much.
It was so great. Thanks, Stacey.
You go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, But have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.